way when you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun now? The show has begun.
Yes, Dick Van Fey and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Well, listeners, something new in sight this week. Well, I mean something new to time. Something which we're going to ask you to join in with us. It's a feature called Inspector Catsby Investigates. Now, we're going to reenact the murder case. And at the crucial point, we're going to stop the action. And you see if you can work out the clue which tells Inspector Catsby who the murderer is.
It's the butler.
Oh. Shut up, Bentley. You'll spoil it.
Well, I bet it is. I'm very good at spotting things like that.
Very good, yes, and you ruined that film for me yesterday with all your blooming guesswork. You kept nudging me every other minute and saying, I bet the butler done it.
Well, that was a perfectly reasonable assumption.
Well, not when the film was the Ten Commandments. Anyway, listeners, there's no more laughs to follow. In our murder story, we hope, the butler didn't done it. Now, see if you can spot how Inspector Catsby deduced who did done it. As we present the case of the blackmail businessman.
The butler done it.
My name is Butler. I'm a director of a large concern in the city and father of a daughter called Prue. On the Saturday in question, Prue was out playing Goodminton. That's like badminton, only played at the vicarage. She came into the conservatory where I was, swinging her racket gaily.
What? Clumsy old me.
Hello, Prue. How did it go?
I put my racket through it.
I saw that, darling. I don't mean the glass roof. I mean, how did the game go?
Oh, we had to pack it in. We lost the shuttlecock.
Prue, I do wish you wouldn't use expressions like that.
What do you mean, Dad?
Well, if you lost the shuttle, say so. You know how I dislike this modern slang. Not because it's vulgar and distasteful, but because it just plain gets on me wick.
Look, Daddy, I hope you don't mind, but I brought a visitor home.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yes, Raleigh, he stopped me in the village and asked me the way here, so I told him to hop up on my handlebars. I must say, he's awfully attractive. He's definitely Mr. Glam.
You don't mean that coarse fellow on the wireless.
Dad, that's Mr. Glam.
Oh, yes, of course.
This man is... Well, he's not young, but... Oh, Dad, he's terribly dashing. He's sort of a... Well, he's Rex Harrison-ish.
Oh, hyphenated name. Huh? Oh, well, I suppose we'd better call him in. You there, Harrison-ish?
Just coming. Coming.
Just been seeing if that ride on the handlebars did any permanent damage. Hello, Butler, old man.
You.
It's apparent from your expression that you recognize me.
Daddy, why has your face suddenly gone ashen?
It's nothing. I blew into the ashtray. Prudence, my dear. Would you leave us alone for a while?
Daddy, you're acting awfully strangely.
Wonder.
You haven't offered our guests any refreshment. Would you like something, Mr.
Failthorpe Otterworth. Guy Failthorpe Otterworth.
Well, if you're peckish, I can easily ring for Soames to bring you something.
Come away from that bell push, Prue. I said leave the room.
Very well, Daddy. I'll go and toss the salad on the veranda.
Interesting gal, Butler. Do you mind if I help myself to a whiskey?
Take that decanter out of your suitcase this instant. Put it back on the sideboard. Now listen, what is it you're calling yourself now?
Failthorpe Otterworth. Guy Failthorpe Otterworth. Same initials as on the side of the little red van I've just acquired.
Failthorpe Otterworth? Who are you trying to bluff? Your big mouth Bertie Billings, the Brixton blackmailer. What do you want of me?
Nice place you have here, old man. Very nice. These paintings must be worth a tidy sum. What's this one? By Alfred Munnings, I should say. Yes, he's reckoned to be the best man on horse portraits.
That's a colored photograph of my dear late wife. Look, Billings, I know what you're after. Take any of these paintings and go. Here, this one. It's a genuine Vermeer.
Take a Vermeer?
Why go away and simply take up a meal?
I'm sorry, old man, sorry. But I'm after bigger things.
Bigger things?
I'll wager there's many round these parts would be interested to hear the past history of the respectable Mr. J.H. Butler. Justice of the Peace, President of the Delphinium Growers League. 3 times honorary maypole for the Country Dancing Festival.
You wouldn't. You mustn't. I've paid me debt to society. 7 years, they gave me 7 years. And for what? For whistling on a Sunday.
Yes, but inside the vault of a bank.
It wasn't my vault, was it? Oh, dear. I've served me time. I've served me time, and now I've made myself a new life. At last, I've got a future. Next week, they're giving me a screen test for prospective liberal candidate. Billions. Did you hear me say that?
I did.
Prospective.
Indeed.
I don't think anybody else did. Never mind. Billings, what is the price of your silence?
The price? Well, I'm not greedy, old man. I just want to assure myself of a good meal tonight and perhaps a decent hotel.
Oh, how much altogether?
Well, a good meal tonight, say 50 bob. And a decent hotel, well, depends on the area, but I reckon I could get one for 25,000.
25,000 pounds?
Daddy, Sam says we'll have to have dinner in the long room tonight because it's rhubarb. Will you be staying, Mr. Pearcourt, while the way?
Would you like me to?
Well, I'm easy.
I'll stay.
You may bring in the rhubarb, Tom.
Yes, very good, Miss Prudence.
Oh, Dad, you are a slow coach tonight. Guy and I have finished our chicken and you're still toying with the soup.
I'm sorry, my dear. My mind was elsewhere. I didn't notice I was trying to drink it with a fork.
But your chicken will be stone cold. Stone?
Yes, Miss Prudence.
Put Father's leg in the oven.
Very good, Miss Prue. Perhaps the gentleman will serve the wine.
Certainly. How about you, Prue? Would you like me to pour you a little?
Not at the dinner table.
You misunderstand me. I'm happy to know.
Guy, you mustn't look at me like that. It does things to me. You're very naughty.
I know. Why, you're blushing. You look beautiful when you blush. All pink, with that yellow hair and that lovely blush pink beneath you. Look like
rhubarb and custard.
Thank you. Look, Prue, what say we go for a stroll in the shrubbery after dinner, eh? Wait for the new moon to rise.
The new moon isn't for 4 days.
We don't have to hurry back.
Very well. Will you excuse me, Daddy? No. If I'm going out in the garden with Guy, I want my fur stole.
If you're going out with him, you'll get it stole.
Went along.
Ah, cheer up, Butler, old man. That was an excellent dinner. Excellent. Better than the skilly on Landing 7, eh?
For heaven's sake, man, do you want everybody to hear? Look here, I'll pay you anything you demand. Just go, leave me and mine in peace. Where's my checkbook?
Don't bother, Butler. I've changed my mind.
What?
As your son-in-law, I would automatically click for the lot, with no risk, whatever. Clever.
I'm ready, Guy.
Coming, my dear. See you later, Daddy.
It was then that I knew I had to kill him. But how? I thought of dropping a big volume of Homer on his head, thus making it look like justifiable homicide. Or putting a bomb in his mattress so it looked like matricide. Or even getting Mickey Cohen across to make it coincide. But suddenly, I hit on the perfect solution. I'd make it look like suicide. When he arrived back, I invited him into my study for a nightcap.
Thank you. It fits me very well. Well, I must say, Butler, I'm glad you're being sensible about this.
Well, I've no alternative. Anyway, as my son-in-law, you can help me. You see, they're holding the village fete in the garden here next Saturday, and you can give me a hand with the preparations.
Certainly, old man. What do you want me to do?
Well, you see that sheet of paper on my desk? I'd like you to write out a notice showing clearly which gate is the exit.
What shall I write?
Just write these words. sorry, this is the only way out. Now sign it.
There.
That's fine. I wonder if you just pin it to your chest so I can see what it'll look like on a gatepost.
Oh, like that?
Yes, that's grand. Don't take it off. It suits you. Just one other thing.
Yeah?
Do you think this is a suitable prize for the mother's obstacle race?
What is it?
It's a musical box.
Oh.
In the shape of a .45 service revolver.
I say, that's very novel. How does it work?
Well, you put it to your ear, pull the trigger, and it plays, "I may never not pass this way again."
I say, that's absolutely splendid. May I try it?
Oh, no, I don't think you ought.
Oh, please, these things kill me.
I hope it plays it right. Just try once. Here you are. Now remember, it's not very loud, so put the muzzle right close to your head.
Okay. Well, there I go.
Oh, oh, oh. Then, Inspector Chatsby, I heard the shot.
Oh.
When I rushed in, he was lying there with the note pinned to his chest.
I see. Miss Butler, may I ask you, did the deceased at any time show signs of any sort of depression?
Yes, he said he had some kind of depression where he sat on my handlebars.
I see. In that case, I have only two more questions to ask Mr. Butler, and I will solve the case.
Two questions?
Just two. You'll pardon me if I ask them in low tones, but I don't want to reveal my methods. Here is the first question, Mr. Butler. I see. Question two. That is all I wish to know. James Butler, I hereby arrest you for willful murder.
Well, listeners, this is where we ask you to test your powers of deduction. What were the two vital questions which Inspector Chatsby asked James Butler? Well, now, they're quite logical questions. The answer to the first one told the inspector that it wasn't suicide at all, but murder. The answer to the second established without doubt who the murderer must be. So what were those two questions? Now, to give you time to think about it, Harry Rabinowitz and the Review Orchestra will now play a short piece of music. Thank you, Harry Rabinowitz and the Review Orchestra. Well, now, time's up, and here's the solution. The two questions which told Inspector Chatsby, A, that it was murder, and B, who did it.
Here is the first question, Mr. Butler. Was it suicide or murder?
Murder.
Who did it?
I did.
Just a little street down in Port-au-Prino. Just a little tune and softly played. Just a boy in love with the mandolino. Just a little moonlight.
Just a little moonlight.
Little serenade.
Little serenade.
Just a little song he could win her heart with. Telling of a love that will never fade. Many a romance has been known to start with. Just a little moonlight.
Just a little.
Looks up above and he sees that her window is open wide. Happy is the boy when she throws a carnation with an invitation to come inside. Just a boy and girl and a mandolino. Just a little kiss as the vow is made. That's the way it is down in Port-au-Prino. Just a little moonlight.
Just a little. He is the boy when he looks up above and he sees that her window is open wide. Happy is the boy when she throws a carnation
with an invitation to come inside. Just a boy and girl and a mandolino. Just a little kiss as the vow is made. That's the way it is.
she's been. Now, hurry along there. She's here. Mr. Glum, don't you start making yourself comfortable. It's closing time.
Well, I've got to stay on a while, can't you see? I'm waiting for my boy, Ron.
Is that the one you was telling me about? The one who started sawing your staircase down the other day?
That's him. You know why he done it?
No.
Well, he'd seen a car going round with a notice in it, free lifts given. So he's sawed down the staircase, you see. As a matter of fact, he's over at Mrs. Glum's father's place at the moment.
Mrs. Glum's father? What's he doing there?
I don't know, but it's a long story why he's gone there, Ted. Yeah. But I think you'll find it rather absorbent. As a matter of fact, pour us another brown and I'll get lubricated. It started last Thursday. Ron and Eth was on the sofa and they were discussing what you might call family relationships.
Oh, Ron. Do you mean that your father won't have anything to do with any of your mother's side of the family?
Yes, Eth.
I think it's dreadful that your father doesn't talk to any of them. What about his own family?
Oh, that's different, Eth.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
They don't talk to him.
Ron, so you're just cut off from all relatives. Ron, it's unnatural.
Yes.
What his own family do is one thing, but for your father to deliberately place a gulf between you and your mother's family, well, there's just no excuse. Say what you like, Ron.
Right, I went. I like treacle tart, eh? You said?
Ron.
Yes?
Ron, beloved, don't treat this as if it were nothing. You know, I don't believe you realize what your father's deprived you of. There's Mrs. Glum's seven sisters. That's seven aunties you've got. Wouldn't you like to have them make a fuss of you and spoil you? Wouldn't you, Ron?
Oh, I suppose I would, eh?
Of course you would. And what's more, you're going to up and tell your father that.
Me, yeah?
Yes. And then, Ron, you are going to force your father to make his peace with that side of the family.
Me? Force Dad?
Ron Glum, you're talking as if you were afraid of your father.
I am, eh?
You're not, Ron. You are not.
Oh. Funny that.
What?
I could have sworn I was.
Well, you're going to stand up to Mr. Glum and tell him to his face. Now, I'm going to call him, so Ron, take a deep breath.
Right.
Mr. Glum? Mr. Glum?
Coming, Eth, coming.
Cool. Lummy, Eth, you always drag me in at the most awkward moments. I was just in the kitchen repairing our refuse disposal unit.
Refuse disposal unit?
Well, that's just a posh name for it, you know. Actually, it's the kitchen window.
Oh, you throw your refuse out the window?
Well, of course.
Well, haven't you got one of those things by the sink that, you know, you put your foot down on?
One of them? We got hundreds of them. Do you know, they treat DDT like I do brown ale. Here. Have a butcher's at Ron there. He got a lovely colour tonight, hasn't he?
Lovely? Ron, you can let that deep breath out now. Mr. Glum, we asked you in here because, well, Ron has something to say to you.
Oh.
Tell him, Ron.
Tell him what, eh?
What you told me just now.
Oh, Dad?
What?
I like treacle tart.
Well, you didn't have to call me in here to tell me that. I could have guessed it from your tie.
Well, that wasn't the major issue, Mr. Glum.
Oh.
Ron has something really important to tell you.
Oh, all right. Then what is it, Ron?
Well,
Ron wants to tell you that your quarrel with Mrs. Glum's family has gone on long enough.
Oh, and what business is it of his, may I ask?
Ron wants to tell you that it's not just a father's love a boy needs. It's also love from the other sections of his kith and kin, such as Mrs. Glum's sisters.
What, them? The seven deadly sins?
Ron wants to tell you that whatever your opinion of them, they're his aunties. And furthermore, he wants to tell you that it's not only your place, It's your duty to heal this breach that exists between you and them.
Oh, I see. Oh, have you quite finished?
Yes, Dad. Yeah, that's my last word. I'll sit down now.
Thank you, Rudy. I should try taking another deep breath, boy. Thank you very much for being so frank.
Mr. Glass,
must say.
Well, I hope we haven't upset you by raising this.
No, I'm not a bit upset. Oh, no, I'm not upset
well,
at all.
It might help if you told us what started this bad feeling between you and them.
Well, I'll suddenly get more upset. It goes right back. Right back a long way to the days when I was caught in Mrs. Glum.
Oh,
if you should have seen her then. Oh, she was a saucy bit of baggage.
Yes.
Shows how they change over the years, doesn't it? Look at her now. More like a baggy bit of sausage. I may say those things. Frivolous, like. In those days, she was the only girl for me. But, you know, and this was the old crutch of the matter, she... Her father objected. He completely disapproved of the match. So you know what he done?
Used a lighter.
You've had your say, now let your father have it.
Take a deep breath.
What he said was, if I married her, he would forbid none of the family never to speak to me, never again, no more, never.
Mr. Glum, what did he have against you?
Well, that's what's always been a mystery to me. I mean, I was a good catch for any girl. I mean, it's true, I had been nicked twice for vagrancy and once for causing a nuisance in the Tate Gallery. Don't know how I come by being in there, as a matter of fact. Maybe I didn't shave every month, but I still say he was over fastidious.
But you went ahead and married her, even in spite.
Well, it wasn't entirely in spite. I mean, I quite liked her at the time. Her father never relented her. From the day I married Mrs. Gum till today, I doubt if he's spoken a dozen words to her.
Neither of you, Dad.
Well, it's different for me. I'm her husband. It's my privilege.
Oh, Ron, isn't there something we can do?
We could go for a walk.
I mean to unite the family. Look, Mr. Glum. How old is Mrs. Glum's father?
What, the old geezer? Well, he must be, nigh on 75, I should think. But he's all there, eh? Ancient he may be, but he's still in complete possession of all his facilities.
Tell me, has he ever seen Ron?
Seen him? He doesn't even know he got him.
What?
Well, he doesn't. I mean, how can he? I never told him about Ron being born.
But how about Mrs. Glum?
Oh, we told her, eh?
I mean, if she didn't tell him either. Oh, Mr. Glum, that's it. Oh, Mrs. Glum's father is a grandpa, but he doesn't know it.
Well,
don't you see? At his age, if he suddenly, unexpectedly saw Ron for the first time, don't you see what it'd do?
What, kill him?
It'd melt his heart, finally break down the barriers. Oh, let's take Ron round there.
No, Ruth, I'm sorry, I couldn't bring myself to do it.
You could, Mr. Glum. Let an old man see his only grandchild. Force yourself. Where there's a will, there's a way.
No, Ethel. A will. A will. And the only grandson after 8 ugly daughters. Ooh. You know, Ed, perhaps it is up to me to do the decent thing. But it won't be easy. Here, come here a minute, Ron.
Yeah.
Stand up now.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at you. No, he looks too old for a heart melter.
What do you mean?
Well, let's face it, Ed. Ron's no little Lord Fauntleroy. Mind you, Ed, if we put a curly wig on him and dress him up in a velvet suit, it might work the oracle.
Hey, what do you mean you let him in? Told you a dozen times that layabout Glum's not to be allowed over the doorstep. Ring for the police. I'm the beer.
I can hear him. I can hear his dear voice, young as ever. There you are, Pa. Here's a nice surprise. Here, look, I brought you some flowers.
Put that pot back on the hall table and get out. Go on, get out.
Now, Pa, just watch where you're lashing with that stick. There's a lot of valuable things in here. And if you break any of them, it only makes unpleasantness in establishing probate.
Eh? Well, what do you want? What do you want, eh?
Well, Pa, your daughter and I have got grand news.
Yeah.
There's no longer just the two of us. Look, push Ron forward.
Look what we had.
Good heavens. Looks like a sheepdog.
Sheepdog?
Yeah. Which way round this week's supposed to be?
All right. Heaven's sake, swivel it round the other way.
Yeah.
Pa, this is your golden haired little grandson.
Hello. I'm Ronikin.
Don't believe it. Them tablets the damn doctors put me on. Is he really wearing a lace collar?
No, they shoved my head up through a doily.
What?
Play with your hoop, dearie.
Oh,
hoop?
That.
Hoop? This is his hoop? This is his governess, Miss Ed.
Governess? What does a stupid girl dress him up like that for?
Pa, don't tell me you've never seen knickerbockers.
These ain't knickerbockers.
Well, they may not be bockers, but they're Mrs. Glum's best pair of... Hey!
No!
Oh.
This has gone far enough. Oh, we can't do this to an old man. Look, sir,
yes.
This is the truth. Ron isn't a child, he's grown up.
Yeah.
And I'm his fiancée. We worked out this trick just so you'd relent about the family feud.
Yeah, I thought so. Trust him for some swindle. Go on, get out of my house. Why all of you?
Pa, no man can be so hard. This boy is flesh of your flesh, blood of your blood. You have an obligation, Pa, an obligation.
Will you stop waving that will form in me face? Go on, get out.
But, Pa.
Go on, get out.
Sir, won't you just...
Oh. You get out as well. Go on, get out.
Thank you for having us, Grandpa.
And you get... What did you say?
Grandpa.
Grandpa?
Yes.
Look, you stay a while, eh?
Yes.
You stay a while, eh? Grandson. Grandson.
Moves you, done it, Ted, eh? That's how we left them, Ted. The silver head and the gold head close together.
Oh, Mr. Glum, that's real. Oh, brings a lump to your throat, don't
it? It's my wallet I want the lump brought to. If Ron plays his cards right, we might get... Here he is.
Oh,
here
God.
He comes. Yeah. Well, Ron, well.
Oh, Dad, isn't he a nice old man?
Yes, he's charming. What you get?
Yes. Well, Dad, we talked and chatted, and he told me how much he hates you. And what a layabout you are. Oh, Dad, he's very good company.
Never mind that. Did he say anything about his will?
Yes, Dad. He said he's not going to leave me anything, but I can bring away anything I like from the house.
Anything you'd like? Ron, some of that stuff's valuable antiques. What'd you bring? The silver candelabra?
No, Dad.
The gold French clock?
No, Dad.
What did you bring?
I brought the thing I wanted most of all.
Show me.
Look, Dad.
Oh, lummy, a slice of treacle tart!
Harry Rabinowitz and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards, and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the Keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...
Hey.